This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And this hour, a bunch of very different looks at technology in the hands of the government, good and bad. And let's begin with a really catchy little idea. Let's use technology to really annoy the Germans. We all know how well that works.
Don't let's be beastly to the Germans when our victory is ultimately won.
I can tell you that the president assured the chancellor that the United States is not monitoring and will not monitor the communications of the chancellor.
White House spokesperson Jay Carney in a little duet with Noel Coward there. DEFCON 5 is nuclear war, right? Well, this is DEFCON awkward, the phone call President Obama had to make nice with German Chancellor Angela Merkel about the revelations that Chancellor Merkel's phone has been bugged, under surveillance, has been Snowdened or something by the NSA. President Obama has already had to offer similar reassurances to French President François Hollande when the newspaper Le Monde reported that the communications of French citizens were under U.S. surveillance. David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for The New York Times, joins me now. David, welcome.
Good to be with you again, John.
Specifically, what is the U.S. position here? There's not been a denial, but there's been no admission. I don't know what happened. Did Chancellor Merkel's phone actually get bugged here?
Well, the best that we can do, John, is to examine the tense that Jay Carney used, or tenses, in the course of that briefing. He said that Chairman Merkel's phone is not being monitored and will not be monitored. He did not say it had not been monitored. And when we have asked that question, we have gotten no answers. Usually in the case of intelligence cases like this, The question that they don't answer is the most interesting one, and this is no exception. Particularly painful, though, in the case of Germany, which is a huge intelligence partner with the National Security Agency and the rest of the U.S. intel community, was deeply involved in the surveillance of Iran, was deeply involved in the effort to undermine Iran's nuclear centrifuges with a cyber program. So this would be a really awkward one, as you suggest.
And this goes way beyond national security. I mean, the Germans have been hanging in there on the international financial system, on the issues of, you know, holding the euro together and doing the bidding of the U.S. And it just seems to me that politically this is not going to go down well in Germany. What have you heard so far?
Well, it wasn't going down well in Germany, but, you know, we've been through this before. 10 years ago, it was Echelon. You know, there is a little bit of an element here, particularly with the French, of, you know, we are shocked to discover there's espionage in this establishment, right?
Right.
So, you know, the French do a lot of commercial spying on the United States. The Germans, I'm sure, do spying in the U.S. as well, whether it's of commercial or the government variety, who knows. There's been Mexico and Brazil in the past couple of weeks out of the Snowden revelations. So there's lots going on here.
Yeah, you're very familiar with this. I'm wondering if there are protocols about surveillance of world leaders, particularly if they're allies, if there's anything very specific written down, or is this a kind of a ad hoc situation that when we get the technology, we go, hey, we can do this. Let's do it.
Well, it's more formal than you would think, because with the Five Eyes, the countries that join in the closest intel partnerships with the United States, there are usually formal agreements, especially with Britain, that we don't spy on each other. Now, there was discussion of having such an agreement with France in 2010, and the intelligence agencies in both countries objected. Neither one of them wanted to give up spying on the other. So the idea here that President Hollande or anybody in French intelligence is shocked by the Snowden revelations, well, that's a little much to take. But there are other countries where the U.S. has no such agreement and both partners with them and spies on them. And, you know, Israel and Germany are good examples.
And, you know, this really relates on a deeper level to the Asian pivot that we haven't heard much about for a whole variety of reasons recently. But I'm wondering how the precedents established here are really going to play out over the long term in East Asia when you're talking about the Chinese and some of the other sort of Asian tigers, Singapore, et cetera, that we're going to need for cooperative arrangements to maintain our national security in the Pacific.
Well, you know, there's no mystery with the Chinese. I mean, we spy on them. They obviously not only spy on us, but take a fair bit of intellectual property and do a fair bit of hacking on the side. That's not going to change. A few partners, close partners like Japan, Singapore, and so forth, that could be, you know, a somewhat different issue. And South Korea, those are the big partners there. And then, of course, Australia and New Zealand are huge intelligence partners, and we you know, usually have agreements with them to keep the spying to a minimum. But frankly, the NSA is a lot more interested in what's going on in the Chinese military than what's going on in Australia.
It sounds like what you're describing is really a, you know, and I hate this metaphor, but, you know, Pandora's box. I mean, it really does seem as though there's no way really to put this back. We've really entered a fundamentally new age in terms of surveillance, the ease of surveillance, and the extent to which alliances mean only so much.
Well, John, there's an element in which there's nothing new here. Countries have spied on each other for a long time, and the rise of digital technology just means it's more efficient in doing the spying. What is new is that the U.S. is going to reach a point where it's going to have to make a decision. And I discussed this some with the head of the NSA in an interview that Tom Shanker and I did with him earlier this month. And that fundamental decision is, do you decide that it's more important to have a partner on things like cybersecurity, offensive cyber, than to have a target for surveillance? And I suspect that the U.S. is going to have to make some choices. And those first choices are going to be with Germany and Israel.
Does the NSA want to go down that road? Are they signaling that they're happy about that, or that they want the administration to come up with those things, or what?
This is going to be a political decision for the president. The NSA may have thoughts on it, but the current thoughts may not be as important as the thoughts of, say, General Alexander's successor, General Alexander, who runs the NSA and Cyber Command, has said that he's going to retire by the spring of next year. So the selection of the successor will coincide with this debate.
That's the real takeaway. David Sanger, Chief Washington Correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.